Just in your bulletin, you have this lovely notes today, and it may look a little overwhelming by the amount of scripture, and I'm just going to just forewarn you, we're not going to get to every one of these scriptures, all right, but part of that is because it's part of your homework, all right, because I really want to encourage you today about what we're going to talk about. You know, as we began this year, part of my heart's desire has been thinking about how do we keep ourselves from falling away from the Lord, getting into a rut again? How do we get to that place where we can maintain that fire, you know, that excitement, maintain the desire to honor and follow God? Because life is hard. I mean, things get in the way. Trials come, circumstances happen. How do we handle them? How do we keep that focus on what God has done for us? His provision, even when it doesn't look like He's providing. When He doesn't feel like He's there. We know in His Word, His promise is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, how do we get to that place where we can walk with God in the midst of it all and know that He's doing something great? Even though we can't see the end of it, even though we can't fully understand it, when you talk about this idea, we need to remember, all right? I mean, you guys all remember in high school, you got to remember all these facts and these things about Shakespeare and things about biology and physics. And you're like, does any of this really help me in life? And you had to take a test on it. And then once you got through the test, guess what? You didn't have to remember it anymore, right? Some of that stuff, you know, I mean, why are we taking some of that stuff? You know, why did you make me read all those sonnets by Shakespeare? Well, maybe one of them stunk and sunk right in, and you get the point of what he's saying. Right? But, you know, the truth is, there are some things that we learn that we forget, but there are some things that we need to remember because they constantly will help us. And truthfully, in our walk, in our life, we're trying to find things that will fill our heart and give us purpose and meaning, that help us understand why are we here, why do we keep doing what we do, and the reality is God has said, I created you for a special purpose. You are my workmanship. I mean, think about it. Maybe some of you guys are crafty, and you know, I have a son who is very crafty, and he likes to make things. And you walk in the dining room sometimes, and there is cardboard everywhere, and duct tape everywhere. But out of that mess comes this phenomenal creation. Whether it's a helmet or whether it's armor, you know, it looks messy, but there's this something that comes out of it that is so awesome. And life is like that. God is molding us. He's making us. It's messy, but in the end, the product that He has created, He's working on, is so worth it. Why? Because He loves us and we're made in His image and He wants us to know that. But this thing called sin gets in the way, and it keeps us from knowing that. It keeps us from walking in that. And He says, I want you to know this. And the way you do this is remember who I am. Remember that I am God. Remember to love me. And the way you show your love for me is by loving your neighbor. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Remember to love God, the great commandment. To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you do that by loving your neighbor as yourself. And then we looked at the Great Commission that God has called us, you know, to go out and make disciples. That doesn't mean we go out and we try and, you know, hook, line, and sinker everyone. But we go out making, as we're walking this life, we're telling people about Jesus, showing by our life that Jesus is real, that He's changed us, and He loved us, and He loves them. And then I didn't realize this. I did not realize what Eric was going to preach about last week. When he came in and he preached on the fellowship of the believers, and he talked about the importance of being together as a body of believers, I didn't realize he was setting me up so well, because the truth of the matter is God has given us a great purpose in this body to function together. And I want to, in the few minutes that we have, go through all of these things we call the one another's, all 32 of them. So you guys ready to be here for the next 6 hours? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. When I told my kids that I had like 13 points, they're like, we're going to be there all day, Dad. No, you're going to speak forever, aren't you? No, I'm going to highlight these truths And I'm going to tie them all together with what just happened a few minutes ago. Because as members of this church, we've agreed to all of these. We've made a covenant together to walk in these and do these. And we need to remember these because it helps us in life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start with the premise of the one another's in John chapter 13. And today we need to remember our church covenant. Why is it so important that we remember this covenant that we made? Now, all you that are married out there, every day you need to remember your covenant you made with your spouse. You can't just say one day you got married and you go out and do whatever you want the next day, right? You wouldn't be keeping a covenant. You made a covenant, a promise to that person for the rest of your life. And every day you need to remember that covenant and celebrate it. I'm excited this year because on June 5th, Rachel and I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage. And I have to sit back and say, she hasn't thrown me out the door yet. I've deserved it so many times. I will be honest. I have deserved it. But 20 years. And this Valentine's Day was 21 years ago that I asked her to be my wife. And I'm looking forward to the next so many years together. But to think about that covenant you make when you get married, it's not just something you enter into lightly. It's a promise that through the highs and the lows, because there are some highs in marriage and there are some really low lows that happen. You commit to each other and you love each other and you grow and you learn and you change because your love for each other changes one another. Why? Because you want to change and glorify God because He loves us. And that's that idea, that covenant that we made as a church. All of these one another are put together so that we can glorify God to the world around us and show them that God loves them where they're at. He loves them in their mess. He loves them in the frustrations and their circumstances. He loves them. He says, I want to help you and be there for you. And I've chosen to use my church, who are a bunch of messy people that I'm still working on, that in the end, when they get to heaven, they're going to be just like my son. All right? We're no better than anyone. We're still being, God's still working on me. I love that song. You know, the kids' song we sing. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. No matter how old we are, God's still working on us. And this is the truth that Jesus lays out in John 13. Before he goes to the cross, as he's laying out his last instructions before for his disciples, he's there, he's at the Passover meal, he's just told Judas he's going to betray him, and Judas is left, and this is what happens in John 13, 31. We're going to read the last part of this, these last seven verses, and we're going to focus on one verse out of this, because it's the key for all the rest of the church where we're going to go this morning. All right? It says, when he was gone, that is Judas, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, just as I told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love. If you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this, just this highlight, Lord, this new command that you've given us to love one another. And I pray this morning as we look at how that is borne out by our actions, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would help us to understand what love is really all about. And help us, Lord, to see, are we living up to that? Are we doing that? Are we being faithful to love you and love others? Oh, Father God, I pray right now that your Spirit would lead and guide and open our eyes to your truth. Now in your name we pray. Amen. So, as Jesus gives this last kind of hurrah to the disciples, all right, They have no idea. And he says, all right, now God's being glorified. Judas has just left. He's going to betray him. All right, God's been glorified now. This is all set in stone. We're ready to go. And, oh, by the way, in a little bit, I'm leaving you guys. You're going to be all on your own. All right? And you can't come with me. But we've just spent the last 3.5 years with you. Where are you going to go that we, I mean, they're focused on that. And Jesus says, a new command I give to you. Love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, that demonstration of that love, all right, is to love each other as Christ loved us. And how did Christ love us? He died for us. He took a punishment that we deserve and was nailed on a tree, became a curse on our behalf because he loved us so much. It was his joy to die in our place because we are his joy. He did it so he could rejoice in us. So he gives this new command. And the first thing, and we're going to walk through, is these all these one another's. The first thing, the premise of all these one another's is built around this one, this very first one another, to love one another. Now, this one command to love one another is repeated more than any of the other one another's. I mean, if you look at all the verses for this one command, love one another, it's repeated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 times in the New Testament. Now, I don't know about you, but if your mother repeated something to you more than twice, you better listen, right? You got to listen to that, all right? And it's just like when my wife says, Ari David, boop, the second name came out, I better listen, all right? I got to listen to that, all right? If God repeats this, it's important for us to understand to love one another. Well, okay, Pastor, I love everyone around me. I love people in the church. The question is, how do we show that love for one another? We can say it to our people, but how do we show it? In the rest of the New Testament, he writes out how to portray this love for one another. I mean, love God, love your neighbor. You mean I have to love that stubborn guy down the hill that curses at me every time I go by because I'm driving too fast? I have to love the guy that drives me up the wall, all right, because he doesn't do things the way I do. Yep. Well, some of these verses, it gives a demonstration or talks about love. All right, a new commandment, love one another. In John, in Romans 13:8, it says to owe no man anything except the continuing debt to love one another. That means I owe you love. You owe me love. We owe love to everyone. Why? Because Jesus showed us love. All right? I mean, Paul writes it to the Thessalonians, love one another. All right? Love for each other is increasing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, that your love was increasing for one another. Increasing. That means you got to love them in a greater depth, in a greater way. So how do we do that? Here we go. We're gonna march right through these one another's, and this is how you love one another. The first one is encourage. Number two here, encourage, support, and edify one another. All right? Encourage one another. I don't know about you, but I like to be encouraged. Do you like to be encouraged? You like it when people encourage you and tell you that you're doing something good? All right? We all like that, attaboy. But this encouragement is about how you live your life. Romans 1:12, be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. By our faith. Does your faith encourage someone else because they see you go through the trial? Romans 14:19. I just want to read a couple of these to you. And then you can look the rest of them up because, you know, we're Bereans. We search the scriptures to make sure what the pastor's saying is right, right? So that's what this is all about. It's an exercise for us to learn the scriptures and what God is saying. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Let us do whatever it takes that we edify one another, to encourage and support one another. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All right, so that doesn't mean literally, it doesn't mean we go around saying, hello, how are you today? All right, that's what he's talking about. It's having that joy bubble out of your life because of who God is, and to speak to one another in wanting to encourage them and uplift them. When you see somebody that's down and out, do you want to go over to them, or do you try and stay away from them? When my kids look miserable, there are some days that I really just don't want to go near them. But then again, I say, you know what? There's something going on. I want to go near them, and I want to get them out of that miserable state. I want to ask them what's going on because I care about them. I love them. I want to encourage them that life's going to be okay. All right? Do we have that propensity to want to go and encourage and support and edify one another? Paul says in Ephesians 4, says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except for that which is to build each other up. Amen. Man, if we'd only get that one right. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning that I've been teaching the teens about James, and we got to the use of the tongue, and teenagers are really good at building each other up. Not. All right? The teenagers have a propensity to want to do what? Make themselves feel good and everyone else feel them. So we talked about the tongue in this illustration, which is awesome. I had a little competition for them, and they had to take two tubes of toothpaste, one against the other, and they had, so you could get the toothpaste all the way out of the tube as fast as they could. So it took like 9 seconds. I mean, it was all over the table, all right? I mean, got it all out. So, so then I said, now we're going to have another competition. I'm going to give you each a toothbrush, and I want to see who can put the toothpaste back in the tube the fastest. All right, and you should have seen them. It was hilarious. They're sitting there trying to shove it in. I mean, I don't know about you. Toothpaste does not go in like it comes out. But the illustration is our words are much easier going out than they are taking them back. And we need to learn, if we're going to be loving to one another, it starts with, are we edifying, supporting, and encouraging one another? And you can look up the rest of these verses and see what Paul says about it. The next part of showing love is to belong or be devoted to and honor one another. All right? We belong to one another. All right? We're supposed to honor each other in life. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 12. This is the key passage on this. And this all comes after he says, be a living sacrifice. Give your life back to me. All right? Which is your act of worship. He says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. All right? So this idea is, that means that I need to be devoted to you and honor you above myself. Look out for you above my needs, what I want. I have to give to you. Could you imagine if we were all doing that, looking out for each other that way? What a difference that would make to show support and encouragement. All right, be devoted and belong to one another. I mean, this is a great opportunity to be devoted to Fred and Debbie. We're devoted to them by going to help them move. All right, that's how we devote ourselves. We devote our time. We give our time to help when needs arise. Just like when I ended up in the ER, Brett devoted to come preach. I know that's not his first choice every Sunday to get up and have to speak. But he devoted himself. Why? Because we belong together. We fill in the gaps. We love one another by doing those things. That's how we honor. Next, one another, or a group of one another's, and I put these in groups, all right, because it makes it easier for us to walk through, all right, is to seek agreement, be at peace, have harmony, and accept one another. There are just some people that we don't like to get along with, aren't there? There are some people that we don't want to get along with. But if we're to love one another, according to these texts in Mark 9:50, Jesus says, be at peace with one another. Romans 12:16, live in harmony. I don't know about you, but I love a four-part harmony. Any of you guys, you remember the old barbershop quartets and, you know, some of those, the Gaithers. And, I mean, listening to the harmony as they get up there, you can hear all the notes, the really high notes. And I'm wondering how some of those guys get up there and sing like those ladies, those altos. And some of those guys get way down there. All right. The harmony is amazing. And it sounds so beautiful. Do we live in a way that our actions breed harmony together? Move in harmony not against, not rubbing each other the wrong way, not looking out for myself, but being at peace and having harmony. All right? Romans 15:5 says, have a spirit of unity. I mean, Eric talked about that last week. One of the fellowship of the believers is about being unified together, having unity of the same mind, the same spirit. We need to seek those things. If we understand God's command to love one another, part of the demonstration of love is to learn to be at peace and have harmony. That means when that person rubs me the wrong way or says something, gets under my skin, I have to realize I need to love them as Christ loved them. I need to work in a way that brings harmony in the body and accept one another. I saw this sign on Facebook yesterday. I wasn't sure if I was going to quote it or not, but it was on a church sign that says, girls, if you meet a man and he's not in diapers, you can't ever change him. There's some truth to that. When we meet somebody, don't we want to change them? All right? We do. We want to change them. We have this desire that they need to be this way, they need to act this way. We're going to change them. Who's the only person that can change anybody? God is. I mean, I can try as much as I want to conform my kids to my image. Oh, wait a minute. They all look like me anyway. So I can try and make them do what I want them to do, but I can't change their heart. God's got to be the one to change their heart. I can try as much as I want to arm wrestle all of you to do what God wants you to do. But I can't change that. You have to allow God to change that. And so I have to accept people the way they are and pray and walk with them and help them see how God wants to make us more like Christ. Not like Pastor Ari. I prefer you to be more like my wife, all right, than me, all right? But that's the reality. We try and change people. We try and make them what we want them to be. And as a church, we can't do that. Because if we love them, we should want them to be like Christ. I was reading this week, I'm reading this book called The Art of Neighboring. It's a phenomenal book about how to take the premise of loving God and loving your neighbor and how to build a community around you and getting to know your neighbors. And one of the things that struck me, and maybe I have even misquoted this in the past, but one thing that struck me in this book is it says, you know, we don't love our neighbors to convert our neighbors. We love our neighbors because we are converted. Let that sink in for a minute. We don't love our neighbors just because we want to make them Christians. We love them because we are Christians and God has just called us to love them. No matter if they ever come to the gospel or ever come to the truth of God's love. We're supposed to love them. Love one another. Man, I sat back and when I read that, I had to highlight it again. I had to read it again and read it again to really think, is that my thought process? Whenever we do anything to love our community, do we do it because we want to see converts or do it because we are converted and are supposed to love them, whether they come to the gospel or not? God has called us to love them no matter what. And one day, because of this love in here, this love that we have for one another, they'll see that we're his disciples and they'll see something different. And guess what? Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 of them come to Christ. But no matter if they don't come to Christ, are we still supposed to love them? Yes. Why? Because we've been changed. We need to live in agreement and peace and harmony. And the rest of the verses will lay that out. This next one is a big one. We are supposed to teach and correct one another. Now, that doesn't mean I go around judging and I look for, you know, are you dressed right today? Are you saying the right thing? You know, we don't judge one another. We teach and correct. We help each other. We come alongside each other. All right? We teach one another. And my favorite verse of this is a verse that I learned in biblical counseling. And it's Romans 15:14. All right? Paul writes to the church in Romans. This is so important because we all need a little correcting once in a while. Some of us more often than others, myself included. All right? But Romans 15:14, and this right here, hold on one second. I just want to premise this verse right now. This takes the excuse out of us to say, I'm not qualified. I'm not trained. Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. That word instruct in the Greek is the word counsel. You are competent to counsel one another. Why? Because you have the full counsel of God at your fingertips right here. Now, some of that counsel may be you need to go see a medical doctor because, you know, I'm not a heart doctor and I can't fix a heart that's blocked by all this. All right, I can't help fix your shoulder. But we have counsel to help each other with what? Worry, anxiety, stress, gossip, how to deal with truth and untruth, how to deal with popular sayings or false gospels. We have that right here. We are competent to counsel one another. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And this says we need to teach and correct one another. We are supposed to teach and help each other grow in Christ. Correct one another so that we can have the blessing of God on it, on us and on each other. Colossians 3:16 is another one of my favorite verses. It goes right along with that idea of why are we competent to counsel? Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, here's the thing. We admonish and teach each other by the songs we sing. We get up here and we sing praises to God about his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his kindness. Coming back to the heart of worship. Everything we do is about Jesus. Why? Because we need Jesus. Just previous to that, verse 13, he says, bear with each other, forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since his members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. That word, let the peace of Christ rule, that word rule is the word umpire. It's the only time in the entire New Testament this word, the Greek word, is used. Let it, the peace of Christ that comes because you trust in him, rule in your heart. Let it call the balls and strikes. I don't know about you guys watching baseball or even watching a football game, the refs. Don't we all get mad at them when they miss a call? Don't we all get mad when they... You know, when they miss the blatant late hits, or we miss that, oh, that's not a strike. You need to get glasses, umpire. All right? That's a ball. That was way over his head. He's only 5'2". We all yell at them. This is let the peace of Christ umpire your life. You know what I think the number one sin for the Christian believer is today? Worry. Anxiety. Because we don't let the peace of Christ, that Christ is in control of all things, rule our heart and our life. We don't let it dictate how we respond in circumstances. And Paul says, teach and correct one another. We're all supposed to help each other do that. Next, we're supposed to greet one another, meet together, and be hospitable. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I'm not saying we go around kissing each other, all right, okay? All right, a holy kiss, you know, back in the day, this was part of the custom of culture. You greeted each other by, you know, kissing each other on the cheek. All right, but this idea of showing love, affection for one another. All right, 1 Corinthians, same thing. 2 Corinthians, Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forget to meet with one another. Don't forget the assembly of the believers. Don't forget about coming together. This is why Sunday morning is so important to us. So we can gather, we can hear God's word, we can be strengthened together, we can find out how life is or what's going on so we can pray for one another. We'll get to that at the end. All right? 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another. Be hospitable. Are we hospitable neighbors? Are we hospitable churchgoers? Would you be willing to offer your car or a ride or your house for a meal for anybody in this church? Do we show hospitality to one another? How do we greet each other? Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right. Good. That's good. Now, how do we greet one another? Oh, I haven't seen you. It's so good to see you again. All right. How do we show the idea of we are grateful when we miss out being here? Do we miss not going to church? Amen. Do we miss that? Do we miss that? I mean, the reality is, do we miss being with the body of Christ? Are we giving? Next one. Do we show our love for one another by considering the needs of one another ahead of our own and be humble? All right. John 13:14. What was it? How did Jesus demonstrate this? He washed the disciples' feet. I don't know about you. I know for my wife it would be a stretch to wash my hobbit feet. All right, because she does not like feet. Now, does that mean literally that she has to wash my feet? This isn't talking about a literal foot washing. Now, I did this many years ago with the teenagers, and there was this one boy in our group that had foot fungus. And we're talking really bad foot fungus. And I called him up as a demonstration to all the other kids of what it truly means to serve someone else. No matter what, we're supposed to serve each other, not who we feel like serving. Serve one another. We consider others, and we are humbled by the fact that God wants to use us to love other people. First Corinthians 10:24, the idea of this consider others' needs is to look out for one another. To look out for one another. Hey, you older people, all right? You've lived life longer than some of us younger people. You look out for us by telling you, hey, look what I did in my life. I did this, and this is what happened. I want to encourage you, try not to go down that road. Looking out for one another, passing on what you've learned. That's how we look out for one another. It's like telling my kids, you can't play in the street. Why, Daddy? There's no cars coming. There might be a car coming someday. We look out for one another. 1 Corinthians 11:33, wait for each other. All right, wait. Anybody like waiting around here? Anybody? We live in an instant society, don't we? Waiting is out the door now. I can just pull my phone out. I don't want to wait for you. I got to see you right here. Psh, yeah, I got it. All right? Wait for one another. Don't get impatient. 1 Corinthians 12:25, have equal concern for one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. Philippians 2:4, look to the interests of one another. You get this concept, these scriptures are telling us we're supposed to think of other people more than yourself. In a marriage, the husband is called to love his wife as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. He's also called to lead her spiritually. But there's a third thing the husband's supposed to do, found in 1 Peter, and it says to live with her in an understanding way. I'll let you think about that for just a minute, guys. All right? Okay? That means, gentlemen, you are to be a lifelong learner of your wife.
Amen.
Lifelong. And guess what? It never says anything about the ladies out there, all right? Why? Because we're just simple, all right? We're just, straightforward, cut and dry. But no, this is important because our role is to understand and love them in the way they need at that moment. And it could change from day to day or week to week or month to month or year to year. But here's the thing. How can you love her and lead her if you're not learning about her? You can't. How can I love you and lead you if I'm not learning about you, church? How can you love and lead others if you're not learning about them? That's putting others first. That's saying, it's not about me. My time, I don't need it. It's about others. Goes on to the next one. Considering others means we need to serve and help one another. Serve and help one another. How are you serving somebody? Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Galatians 6:2 gives this another idea. Carry one another's burdens. I love it in my house. Hey, can you pick that up for me? No, I didn't bring that down. Serve one and help one another. Fred and Debbie, you're moving. How can we serve and help them? Boy, man, this is a great day for this, How do we do that? We go and we help. But pastor, I can only carry 5 pounds. Hey, that's all right. You do what you can. That's how we serve and we help one another. You know, I'm putting a call out to pastors and friends that I know that do flooring. Hey, you want to come help us as a mission project put in our new floor in our church? As a body of believers, it isn't just about our church. It's about other churches. I mean, we have helped New City Church to get their new chairs for their place. And guess what? God is using those chairs, filling them with people who need the gospel. And you had a part in that, church. You may not see it here in our church, but you're seeing it in the kingdom. And one day, you'll see the fruit of that. That's how we serve and help. Another one, persevere with one another. Ephesians 4, we talked about this in Sunday school, and I tried so hard not to give this one away too much in Sunday school class this morning. But Ephesians 4, 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Persevere one another. Bear with each other. That means that person who gets under your skin, yes, you have to bear with them in life. Why? Because we love God. New command, love one another. That means if I love them, I'm going to bear with them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to persevere through this. I'm going to help them through their trial, their circumstances. Even if they don't see it right now, I'm going to bear with them. I'm going to walk with them. When your kid gets into a struggle or something they don't understand, do you just go up to them and say, hey, you need to get over this right now, wipe it up and move on? No, you don't do that to your kids. You come alongside them and you bear with them the pain, the heartache. You walk them through the response and the biblical responses of that. You persevere because God has said he's faithful and he will complete it. He will complete the task he set out to do in us till the day in which Christ returns. We have that promise. God's going to complete it. Boop. Not only that, now here's another one. Confess and speak honestly to one another. Now some people, someone came up to me one day and said, when we were reading, he had read through the James, and he says, Pastor, I'm not doing this. And I said, what do you mean? It says here I'm supposed to confess my sins to one another. I can't do that. Why can't we? Why can't, well, when it says confess your sins, does that mean I come in and I'm just going to lay down my laundry list? Confessing our sins to one another is about saying, hey, I have a problem and I'm struggling in this area. Please help me so I can overcome this, whatever it may be. Whether it's, you know, I eat too much, whether it's I I'm a gossip or I say things I shouldn't or things just come out of my mouth when they, you know, when I know I should restrain it, I'm confessing that. You know, when I hurt my wife or I say something to my wife that's stupid, happens once a week. Maybe. A day, maybe. An hour, maybe. All right, I'll get truthful. All right, I confess you. Oh, God, forgive me. All right. No, what do I do? I don't just wait till she's alone. I let my kids see that I messed up, and I confess my sin to my wife in front of them. Why? Because I want them to see that when we do something wrong, we need to go and take care of it. We need to confess that. We need to make it known so that we can bring it into the light. Not hide it in the darkness anymore. Because we're supposed to help what? Build each other up. We're supposed to do all these one another's pushing us to be more like Christ. Confess and speak honestly to one another. Speaking truthfully to one another, Ephesians 4:25. Speak the truth in love. Yes, your pastor messes up, church. Your pastor struggles with his mind. Your pastor struggles with his mouth. Sometimes with his hands. No, I don't beat anybody up. I just forget to put things away. I need grace. I need mercy. I need to confess that. Not only do we confess and speak honestly, we be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians 4:32, later on, he writes at the end of the chapter, says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as In Christ, God forgave you. These two next two go hand in hand here. Be kind and compassionate. All right? How would you want them to treat you in that circumstance? If we love one another, they say that we need to be kind and compassionate to each other. Not strict and, you know, compassionate. What is compassion? What does it mean to be compassionate? Does it mean to be gullible? Or is it showing mercy? and grace. If we're kind and compassionate to one another and we really care about one another, we go right into the next one, which is to be forgiving of one another. Not holding grudges against each other. If you can't forgive, a root of bitterness will take part in your heart and will keep you from being happy, will keep you from the joy of the Lord. We have to learn to forgive. But what if they never come and ask for forgiveness? Does it matter? You have to be willing in your heart to say, I forgive them if they ask. I forgave them before the Lord because Christ forgave me. He forgave me for my sins, my indiscretions, my thoughts, my jokes, my tearing down words. How can I not forgive, especially my brothers and sisters? And the last one, which is kind of binds them all together, James 5:16. If we want to love one another, we have to learn to do this. Pray for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do we pray for one another, church? Do we lift up each member of our body in prayer each day? Because if we love one another, we're going to pray for one another. Pray for those that are dealing with cancer, praying for those that deal with financial hardships, pray for those that are learning to, that are training up their children. I mean, you've been there, you've done that. Think about all those young parents that are still dealing with their kids. We're praying for them that God would give them wisdom and the ability. Those that don't have kids yet, that one day they'll make the right decision. Praying for those that don't know Christ. Praying for those in our church that we should love. Those that we should confront. Those that we should build up or persevere with. Prayer is not a crutch, church. Prayer is our offensive weapon as the church. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be praying that God would do what only He can do and helping us to love one another. Now, all of those one another's, now I didn't read all the verses. That's for you guys. I want you to go home and look and think about why God put these all in there. It's because it's all about this new commandment to love one another. And that's why what we wrote in our church covenant is so important, because our covenant isn't just this, I'm here to be an agreeable church member and cast my vote when it's needed for the color of the carpet or the color of the floor. And if it's not what I like, I'm not casting my vote. No, we agree to the spiritual concerns of one another. We could agree to all of these one another's, which is why we're going to read this in unison together, church. Because it's a remember, we need to remember what we've made as a covenant of believers together. To read and understand that all of these one another's I just looked at are in our church covenant. This is what we're supposed to be as members, as the body of Christ, that shows we are His disciples. If we say we follow Christ, then this should be the way of our life. So you want to get it out and read from there. If this is too small for you, it's going to be up here on the screen. We're going to read this together in unison. This is our church covenant. This is our pledge to one another, but more importantly, this is our pledge to God to show our love for one another. All right, here we go. Ready? God established a covenant relationship, first with His people Israel, and then a new covenant with His people, the church. Therefore, as members of God's covenant family, known as Small Point Baptist Church, we commit ourselves to God and to one another to be Christ-like in our lives and relationships through the presence, guidance, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. We will love one another as Christ loved us, honor one another above ourselves, be kind and compassionate to one another, encourage and build up one another, comfort one another, and offer hospitality to one another. We will have a spirit of unity based on our common bond in Christ. Be united in mind and convictions. Meet together regularly. Have equal concern for each other. Suffer when one suffers and rejoice when another is honored. And consider others more important than ourselves. We will use our God-given knowledge to instruct one another. Use our spiritual gifts to bless one another. Use the Word of God to teach and admonish one another. And nurture one another towards spiritual maturity measured by the life and ministry of Jesus. We will confess our sins to one another. Pray for each other. Warn those who are idle. Encourage the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another as the Lord forgave us, and gently restore those who sin. We will not talk negatively about one another, not pass judgment on one another, not put any stumbling block in another's way, not be morally impure, not use obscenities, not be greedy, but will be filled with the Spirit. We will let the light of our godly lives shine together to bring glory to God. Church, this morning, is that how we've been acting? Is that the theme of our life? We can say it, but we have to live it if it's true. God has given us instructions about how to keep that command, to love each other, to encourage and build each other up. We do that by being intentionally involved in each other's lives. How are we doing, church? How are you doing? Let's remember our church covenant and be the people that God wants us to be by our love for one another. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful this morning for the truths of your word. Grateful for all that you've instructed with us. And sometimes it can seem so overwhelming that how do we do these things? But by the grace of God. We do these because we want to glorify you. We want to honor you as holy and righteous because you have given us that which we do not deserve. Father, maybe there's people in this room that we need to seek forgiveness from, or we need to go to. We need to encourage. We need to love. Maybe there's someone we know that needs help, and we need to help, and we can do that. But how will this world know your love if we're not willing to love each other in this place? The love that was demonstrated on a cross, that while we were yet sinners, you died in our place to bring us life, to bring us joy and peace in the midst of all the struggles of life. It doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life or a prosperous life, but we can have a blessed life because you are in it. And we walk this road together. Following Jesus. Help us, Father, to be those disciples. Help us to be the church that loves one another. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand. We'll close with hymn 423, We Are One in the Bond of Love.
We are one in the bond of love. One in the blood of love, we have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands at the
God loves us. God loves this world. Do we allow that love to lead us and change us and love everyone in this room and outside these walls? Let's love each other this week. Let's love those around us. Find our neighbors. Get to know them. Love them as God loves us. Why? Because God changed us and has put His love in our hearts. Father, I pray for us this week as we go out, that you would lead and guide us to be bound together in the love that brought us here. Help us, Lord, to manifest your love and show the world how much you love them. For your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, church.